Retired consultant, haematologist and clinical director at Basildon Hospital, Dr. Eric Watts, is a cancer survivor himself. It was his illness as a teenager that led him to a distinguished career in medicine. And Eric joins me now. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Bob.
Ah, hello. Now, you're here today to tell us about a new local support group for people affected by cancer. But first, I'd like to find out a little more about you. First of all, if we can go back to your illness. Can you tell us about your illness and how that led you into a career in medicine?
Well, in short, I was in hospital for 6 months in the first instance, so that I was 12 and naturally curious, and I have big ears, so I would listen to what was being said around me, and it was all very interesting. I was extremely ill at that time, and unfortunately, in common with many young people with cancer, the symptoms weren't picked up as quickly as they would have been because it is unusual for young people. So by the time I was in hospital, I was in very severe pain, and it was a very difficult and trying time for everybody. But obviously I got better, and during that period of time, I lay there with my ears open, listening to what was going on, and although I came from a very ordinary background and had no expectation of a career in the profession, when I listened to the doctors talking, I thought, yeah, they're just putting one and one together. You know, they're the same as anybody else. This medicine has got a lot of strange long words in it, but the underlying concepts behind it you can grasp if you take enough trouble. And then, of course, you've got to pass the exams. So having been very ill and having been restored to pretty much normal health, I thought, yeah, this is quite good. And then a couple of years later, I got a recurrence, and so I had a second dose of it. So I had spent more time listening to doctors again. By this time, second time round, you're a bit more confident. I was questioning them, and most of them thought this is quite nice. And I remember one particular occasion when the chest surgeon, these grand guys with their bow ties, sort of come swaggering along the ward. Hello, Sonny. Yeah. What do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, well, something scientific. And he said, we're going to do something scientific to you tomorrow. Oh. And I thought, well, there you go. Maybe that's all it is. Medicine is applied science, effectively. Okay. So then, of course, you've got to pass the exams. But provided you do that, it's keep your nose down, shoulder to the grindstone. I think I'm mixing my metaphors.
Well, never mind. That's fine. We know what you mean. Yeah. So, I mean, you're now setting up a new support group. What about support that you got during your illness? Was there anything of that kind around at the time?
I didn't discover it until fairly recently, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
Although what tends to happen, particularly in the old wards they had in the old days, what they call the Nightingale wards, when you had 18 beds down one side and 18 down the other, so that sister or matron could see everybody straight away, what does happen is that people get a sense of what's going on to their fellow patients, and most people, being sociable individuals, tend to show sympathy and support as best they can.
Right.
But then, of course, you go home. So that there is an issue for a lot of people that they feel themselves in a supportive environment. So what often happens is that people are going through a very hard time. Everyone knows that. Everyone's showing support. Everyone's helping them. And then you get out and all that support network goes away. There are quite a few people who find it all very hard, and quite a few people whose family and friends find it hard too. And one of the commonest things one hears when people have been diagnosed is you find out who your friends are.
Right.
Because a lot of people simply can't handle it. And I know from friends who have had the illness, for example, you might be in the pub and you say, oh, I hear George has got cancer, and the atmosphere deflates. And I remember thinking to myself, right, I'll start giving the good news behind progress and treatment and so on, then everyone changes the subject, and poor George is left alone. So that business of loneliness is a very common very common experience.
It's basically fear, isn't it?
Precisely.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I mentioned earlier that you're now retired, but you still work hard fundraising for Macmillan Cancer, including marathon running, I understand.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, before I was ill, I was a very keen rugby player.
Right.
You can't see me on the radio, but I'm 6'4",
yep.
And I was the star of the first 15.
Wow.
But because it was a spinal tumour, and because they had to chisel quite a bit of bone away, it's very hard to play rugby without a good strong backbone.
Absolutely.
So that I had to give up other things. I had to move on to other things. I went on to cycling and I did quite well. But to be a good fit cyclist, you have to train so much that it really there isn't room for much else life.
No.
So it didn't mix well with medical studies. And then when the running boom came along in the 80s, I thought, well, I'll give this a try. And I found I could do reasonably well. When we moved to Brentwood, I joined Fifth Green Trotters, which is a very nice, friendly club. They meet just on the other side of this building on a Wednesday. And so there's a lot of good fun to be had. Again, there's a lot to be done. A lot to be gained from being with other people and just the simple benefits of talking with other people, so that I was able to do that and had a good time. So when I first came here, which was 1989, ran a few marathons with the club then. Then work took over, work gets busier. Now I've retired and thought, well, I can give it another go. So I've run the Brighton Marathon for the last 2 years, and this year I'm in the London. On this occasion, I'm running for two charities. One is the Teenage Cancer Trust.
Right.
Naturally enough, having been a teenager, one knows how difficult it is because you're not a kid. At the same time, most people in hospital are a lot older. Most people are at least over 60, and there's a big gap there.
Yeah.
So that there is a special need to regard teenagers as having particular problems, and they are busy building more units and helping to get a more youth-oriented approach into those existing cancer centres. The reason why it's so important to invest in young people with cancers as opposed to cancer in general is they survive longer. The
right.
survival rate is so much better.
Really?
So the consequences of bad experiences when you're young are something that can live with you, can be with you for 60 years or so.
Sure.
The other charity that I'm running for is Basildon Hospital's Polly Parrott, because I'm delighted to say they are extending their services for children with cancer, and that is such a good thing because it means that you don't have to travel into these special centres. That's one of the abiding memories of my illness, is my mother and my little brother having to traipse across the city, take two bus journeys the whole afternoon to see me when I was in hospital for such a long time. So that now there's a much greater appreciation of the fact that you can give treatment locally, then it makes life easy for the patient and for young people, the family as well. The whole family is affected by the illness affecting
a
child.
Yeah. Well, I'm full of admiration for you. I mean, you've run something like about 15 marathons.
Oh, 16 now, yes.
16, is
yes.
it? Absolutely amazing. Well, I'm keen to hear more about you, including the saxophone, but let's, for the moment, get down to the nitty-gritty of why you're here today, really,
yes.
is about the Brentwood Cancer Support and Survivorship Group. What are the aims of the group?
Well, can I start by saying we haven't decided for certain that we will be establishing a group as such.
Okay.
Because this is very preliminary. I became, after I retired, a member of what's called the big term coming up, Basildon and Brentwood Public Engagement Group.
Okay.
So that is mostly those of us who have been nominated by our GP surgeries or elected by our GP surgeries to represent patients in Brentwood. So there are a group of between 10 and 20 people meeting with the locality manager from the Clinical Commissioning Group. For those people who haven't got used to this new terminology, because this all came in 2013, the Clinical Commissioning Group are the officers of the local NHS who commission, that is, who contract services with the hospitals and with other people, so that it's quite a new organisation. But I'm pleased to say there are a number of very well-informed, hard-working people there, and they've got good groups functioning for diabetes. And so that's an example of a group system that's working well. And I have been saying since I joined the group, we ought to have more services for cancer patients. And so eventually they said, right, Eric, you'd go ahead and do it.
Great.
Since which time, we have learnt a lot about other groups functioning nearby. So it may well be that all we do is establish the good work being done south of Brentwood in Basildon, where they have a Cancer Macmillan unit and where they are developing the survivorship programme. Some patients go to Southend, where they have a Macmillan unit. Some people go into London, where they have various other support units. And of course, we have St Francis on our patch. Yep. And St Francis are very well established here, and they've got a lot of expertise and they've got wonderful facilities. So I hope that between us we can establish something. I don't want myself to be seen as promoting my group, because although I have the experience you've spoken about, you need, in order to run a successful group and a sustainable group, to have more than one person. You need a lot of input from different people.
Sure.
And if there are functioning groups elsewhere, it may be sufficient to say, now we can publicise what's going on. The other thing that's going on, Healthier Brentwood.
Ah.
So if you Google Healthier Brentwood, it'll take you to a site which is owned, I think, by Brentwood Council. They're doing a lot of good work there, diet and exercise, and there'll also be a specific mention of this project. So I haven't definitely decided that we're going to have a group. If it so happens that the other people I've mentioned say, well, we have groups, I can say, okay, let us make sure people know about them.
Okay.
One of the big challenges is to make sure that every patient who has been treated knows where they can go to get help.
Okay, okay. So the meeting is on Monday, the 1st of February at Brentwood Community Hospital. I haven't got a time for that, actually.
It's between 10 and 12.
Okay. So what's going to happen on Monday, then?
Well, Malcolm, who is the chairman of that group, he's a patient, and he has quite a good, quite a high local profile because he's the leader of the diabetes group there. So he's got the experience of local group work. He's going to chair it, which gives me free rein to talk and for him to interrupt me if I am going on for too long.
Right.
So what I will do is give a short talk about the fact that I have been involved with various groups. In particular, I used to be the medical advisor to the National Conference of Cancer Support Groups, which was a wonderful meeting held every year in Manchester for 3 days, Thursday night to Sunday lunchtime, costing people around about £150, staying in student accommodation and hearing some fantastic, marvellous, inspirational speakers, and also going to workshops. So if you want to try, if you want to learn something about the complementary therapies, Reiki Alexander technique, if you want to know more about diet, if you want to know about mindfulness, meditation, all those sorts of things, there will be 1 to 1.5 hour workshops you go to. So in a weekend, you could sample all sorts of different activities, or you could go to those meetings where people take on more of a campaigning approach. For example, there are a lot of men very concerned about the fact there wasn't being enough done to screen for prostate cancer. So you could attend a workshop where people give the pros and cons of that. So that's my part of my background, that I've seen how empowering it has been for people who say, oh my God, I've been told I've got it, and that means I've had it. There's nothing I can do. To find out what you can do is tremendous experience.
Yes, yes. So who is the meeting for on Monday?
Well, we're careful what we say. Anyone and everyone affected by cancer. So we say affected because the partners, the families can be affected as well. And you often find that people come to these meetings who have nursed a loved one through the cancer experience and who have learned so much. The flip side of that is you get people coming along who say, if only I had known about this 5 or 6 years ago, I wouldn't have felt alone. I felt that I was alone, that I couldn't speak to anyone. I felt that if I showed any weakness, I would be considered a wimp. I didn't want to lose my friends. I wouldn't discuss the subject. I felt lonely and isolated. We've heard that almost every time we get a new member. So it needn't be like that. That's the point. So it will depend what happens. We've got the use of the room in Brentwood Hospital for on behalf of the CCG. We may be able to use other locations throughout Brentwood. It's all a matter of me saying, look, it's time we had something.
Yeah.
People coming forward, saying what they can do, and then us deciding what we can do, either one happy family together, or we can say we'll share out the work between the different groups that are already working.
Okay. So, I mean, presumably, if there's quite a big attendance on Monday and a lot of interest is expressed, you may well be starting your own group in this area, yeah?
That could happen, but I don't want to prejudge it.
No, that's
the important, because I do know people who have set up groups full of enthusiasm, and then you've got to have so many different inputs to make it interesting and sustainable, so that I'm not optimistic. I am an optimist, but I'm also a realistic optimist. I'm not going to say, come to me and all will be sorted. You need to have a mix of people to make sure that those people who are involved in work which sometimes can be emotionally challenging have got support themselves, you see. We're going into this with our eyes open, and we're going to listen to what the other people have to say too.
Well, that sounds fantastic to me. Now, if anyone would like to attend, can they just turn up on the day, or do they need to book with you at all?
There's no need to book. It's a big room. If necessary, we can rearrange the furniture so that it's in the conference room. I think it's also called the meeting room, which is on the first floor of Brentwood Community Hospital. So you go in, you turn right, and then there's a staircase going upstairs. You go upstairs, and it's opposite the staircase. I hope there'll be enough people there that there will be no problem getting through. There'll be no problem finding it, and we can set it up boardroom style, so everybody can sit at the table and feel important. If we get 50 or 60 people, have to take the tables out and put the chairs in.
yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, that really covers it. It's Monday the 1st of February at Brentwood Community Hospital at between 10 and 12, did
That's
you
right.
say? Yeah.
We do know very quickly that the man from Brentwood and Basildon Clinical Commissioning Group, so he who runs the cancer business, will be there for the first 45 minutes. So if anyone's got a really specific burning issue to put to the man in charge, then he'll be there. Apart from that, there will be at least one of the Macmillan nurses. There will be people from St Francis Hospice, and there will be Elaine Hanlon from Brentwood County Council. She's from the Environmental Health Department. She's behind the Healthier Brentwood Initiative. So there's going to be a lot of people there who can all provide something. And if we can agree a way forward, even if it's only having something like an information booth at County Hall with a list of addresses then, or of contacts, then hopefully that will reach more people.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Eric Watts, thank you so much. I should say, I know from personal experience that being told you've got any form of cancer can be a very frightening experience, and any sort of support group, I think, is invaluable. I think it's great work, and I wish you every success with it, and I hope it's very well attended on Monday. We'll get all the details on our website later on. That's Dr. Eric Watts. Thanks again.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much indeed.